When it's a phone, not a phone. When it's a radio, radioonthego.com is where you can download the app for iPhone or Android. Then listen anywhere to 104.9 KLMJ. Radio on the go.
Summer is a great time to renovate your home, and at First Bank Hampton, we're ready to help. Hi, this is Colleen Moritz with First Bank Hampton. Whether you need a simple consumer loan or a home equity line of credit, we can help you finance home improvements with rates and terms that fit your budget. Stop in and visit with one of our consumer loan officers today. We'd be happy to help you complete your projects. First Bank Hampton is a member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome to the Radio On The Go Newsmaker program brought to you by First Bank Hampton. Newsmaker is a featured interview with people who are making a difference and are making news in our local communities. Each Monday through Friday at this time, you will hear a featured interview from the Radio On The Go News Department featuring local politicians, school officials, faith leaders, volunteers, police chiefs, firefighters, and others from a variety of backgrounds and influences to keep you informed. Here is today's First Bank Hampton Newsmaker interview.
Today's guest on the Radio On The Go Newsmaker program is Joe Herring, who is a district forester with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. We're going to have a lot of things to talk about today, including talking about ticks, as those are kind of common this time around. Also an update on the emerald ash borer here around the state and the broadcast area. Joe, as always, it's nice to talk with you this afternoon.
Thanks, Mitch. Glad to be here.
So let's begin. The first thing I kind of want to talk about, there's been some news releases regarding ticks, Joe. So maybe for our audience sake, what kind of environment do ticks like? Are we looking at very warm temperatures? Are we looking at area of trees? What are we looking at, Joe?
Well, I'm not necessarily a tick expert, but I probably spend more time in tick habitat than the average person, I guess. You know, they can be out in Iowa's natural areas anytime from March through November. Last fall, I found a tick on my leg in the month of November, and it was cold enough that I was wearing stocking hat and gloves. You know, they certainly seem to peak, at least in my experience, in the month of May, and they're still pretty prevalent in June, and you can find them, like I said, in any month from March through November, I think. But certainly in our forested areas, you can find ticks. And it seems to me also just in grasslands, you know, whether it's a prairie or a brome grass field, I seem to find a lot of ticks in those habitat types.
So another question I have, too, ticks can affect pets and humans. So I know it's, you know, 90 degrees this week, but one of the things I know that people can do to avoid ticks possibly is wearing long sleeves and pants. What else can people do to kind of avoid ticks if possible?
The thing I do most frequently for myself and my kids is just a lot of observation and checking. I'm just always looking down at my legs and my boots and my, you know, clothing to try to find them while they're still on the outside of your clothes. So just really frequently checking yourself over and wearing, you know, kind of light-colored clothing so that's easy to spot them and identify them really helps. Yeah, long pants, long sleeves, if you can stand it. And I try to either tuck my pant legs into my socks sometimes, or sometimes I'll even wear some gaiters around my shins and ankles that kind of just helps give an added layer of protection against ticks, but also chiggers. You know, try to keep them on the outside of your clothing as opposed to finding a way up under your clothing so that they're easier to spot and find before they become attached. Yeah, they make some repellents. Supposedly basic DEET, which is I think of as kind of a mosquito repellent, also deters ticks a little bit. But, you know, I don't think that that's quite as strong. There is another stronger tick repellent that's called permethrin, and it's really only for your clothing. And you can either buy clothing that's ingrained with permethrin, or you can buy the stuff and you spray your clothing with it, and it kind of treats them for several weeks or months, so many washes. I typically just try to do basic measures of looking for them, tucking in my pants and tucking in my shirt and trying to find them as quickly as you can.
And of course, if you have pets, always be checking your pets too for ticks, as they can carry Lyme disease among other diseases ticks can carry. Again, we are talking with Joe Herring, a district forester with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. And Joe, another topic we want to talk about too, we talked to you back in early March talking about the emerald ash borer. we are talking off air that, you know, the releases have kind of stopped in terms of, hey, the EAB has been found in this county. It's kind of been stopped just because it's assumed that the EAB has affected all 99 counties here in the state. So what has the DNR been doing as of late here at the Emerald Ash Borer here across the broadcast area and the state?
Yeah, the ash borer insect is, at least in our listening area, I think it's pretty well saturated. I live in Eldora, and it's hard to find an ash tree in Eldora right now that doesn't have dieback and severe symptoms, and a lot of them are already totally dead trees. It's only been 3 years since we first found that bug for the first time. So 3.5 years ago, all of our ash trees looked healthy. Now, I will say they're not all 99 counties are saturated. I think we're up to about 81, 82 counties, something like that. But there's still some counties in the northern part of the state, northwest, north central, that don't have this insect so far as we know. So we do still want to prevent people from taking ash firewood or dead ash trees out of their counties as much as possible. Although there's no legal quarantine right now from one county to the next, it is legal to move firewood. We just want to really discourage that as much as we can as a good practice. So if you have dead ash trees and your firewood cutter, try to just keep it right there in the same town or the same county, if at all possible, so you don't spread it to any other areas. Saying that, the chief thing that people need to be doing is either mitigating risk. If you have an ash tree that is dying or dead, we just don't want those dead standing trees with heavy limbs falling down on people or homes, you know, or cars. So for instance, out at Beads Lake, I know the park ranger there has been pretty active and aggressive at trying to get ahead of this problem, just because we know with 99.9% certainty that ash trees that are planted in a campground or a picnic area, or for that matter, a park or a street, those typically came from a cloned species of ash tree from a nursery. And so they have very little genetic resistance to this bug. Whereas in a natural forest, we might expect to find up to 7 trees per 1,000 from ash that would survive the bug just through natural genetic resistance. But we don't have that genetic resistance in a town or in a developed park. So the writing's on the wall. If you have a healthy ash tree, one of two things needs to happen. Either you need to begin treating it with ideally a professional licensed arborist who's certified to inject the tree with an insecticide. That's if it's a very highly valuable tree for your property or just one you're very emotionally attached to, you need to keep it alive. Or if you're not going to treat those ash trees, you should just kind of expect that they will be succumbing to this bug in the coming years. And you might want to just get ahead of the problem and either go ahead and remove it and replace it, or start budgeting the money that it would take to remove that tree. You don't want to wait until it's totally dead before you take action to remove it, because they become dangerous and brittle pretty quick. So with that, the other efforts that we're trying to do from the DNR standpoint is encourage people to keep planting trees. It's really just as simple as that. Just keep planting more trees, because it's like a human population. You know, to sustain ourselves, we just have to keep replacing and regenerating, and that's the same with trees. There's always things out there that will kill trees, diseases, pests, storms, derechos. The sustainable long-term solution is just to keep adding new trees and diversifying our tree population as much as we can so that we don't have any major pests impacting just a single species.
And you brought up a variety of trees to be planted. I know I talked with the Hampton Tree Board just here in town a couple of months ago in the spring, as they were going to replace some trees that already have been taken down due to EAB. And one of the things they said was the variety of trees, you know, get a variety. Don't plant ash trees right next to each other, so the problem gets even worse. So you also mentioned the derecho, Joe, as there was a release on Monday regarding the Iowa legislator appropriating state infrastructure funds to the Iowa DNR to be used for a community based tree planting program for derecho recovery from last August. So can you give our listeners any more information regarding that?
As you indicate, it was I think it was a governor's proclamation, and state legislature allocated funds for tree canopy replacement in those towns or communities where the derecho really ripped through and had a major impact at eliminating tree canopy. So if a representative from any of those towns, or if you're just a citizen from any of those towns who wants to be engaged and active in helping replace the lost tree canopy, you know, you might want to give us a call, the Iowa DNR. You can reach out to me. I'm based in the Iowa Falls. USDA local county extension office and see if you would be one of the qualifying communities, and then we can get you more information about the details. I believe the program requires a one-to-one dollar match from the local municipality or private sources to match with the state funds, but essentially it'll double our impacts at getting new trees back out on the landscape in these communities, you know, that were really hit hard by the storm, to provide the shade and the bird song and the property enhancement and property value increases and energy conservation savings and benefits that we all derive from having trees in our communities.
Applications are due August 20th. More information, the application can be found at iowadnr.gov/urbanforestry, as we said in the news this week. Yeah, trees so important for animals and humans. Again, we've been talking with Joe Herring with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. Joe, as always, appreciate the time, and we'll talk again down the road. Thank you for talking with us.
Thanks, Mitch. Appreciate it.
All right, Joe Herring here on the Radio on the Go Newsmaker program.
Today's Newsmaker interview has been sponsored by First Bank Hampton. You can hear today's interview or past interviews on demand in their entirety by visiting the Newsmaker page at radioonthego.com. The First Bank Hampton Newsmaker program is also a part of our podcast, which can be subscribed to for free in iTunes or Stitcher.
What better way to spend the summer weekend than enjoying a road trip to one of your favorite destinations? Hi, this is Jordan Brass at First Bank Hampton. If you've ever dreamed of owning a convertible or motorcycle, this is the perfect time of year to make that purchase. And when it comes to financing, be sure to check out our competitive rates and friendly service. We'd love to help you get your summer off to a great start. First Bank Hampton is a member FDIC.